Good morning. Today is Tuesday, 10th of January. Is it windy and wet enough for everybody? Hope
it
so.
It is.
We got to get worse than this.
Yeah.
To get your attention, it's not worth it. Joining us this morning from Redeck, Mr. Foster.
Good morning.
By way of Ferndale.
Yes.
Yes.
And still open for business. But add a few minutes to your trip.
That's the scenic route. You stop and you can look.
Right, exactly. And you go very slow across the bridge and you get a beautiful view.
Yeah. Are you ready for your question this morning?
I am.
Okay. Why do we say henpecked?
Impact?
No, henpeck.
Henpecked.
As in being henpecked. Yes.
Well, you know, I think I might get this because I do know and my son still has, we always had chickens. And I know that when you introduce new birds in, the other hens will start pecking on it and just kind of keep it up until they're docile. So I suspect it has to be you're pecked at until you give in or become docile.
Biologist W.C. Alley gained fame by discovering the pecking order among hens.
Yeah.
But a fowl's practice of using her beak as a weapon was noticed long before it came under the scrutiny of a scientist. Aggressive wives were compared with fowls and said to henpeck their mates. Beginning late in the 17th century, writers began joking about male submissiveness. Even Lord Byron quipped that great ladies had henpecked the nation's lords. Actually, henpecking of this type is limited to humans. Females of the backyard peck, females of the barnyard peck one another with fervor, but let the lord of the barnyard alone. Rooster.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Accurate or not, the metaphor is firmly established in speech. It's used to describe a female's verbal attacks upon a male, despite the fact that few, if any, roosters ever undergo hen pecking.
This is true. Yeah. We would have the occasional rooster, and they can be
nasty all by themselves.
Oh, man, let me tell you. I've had many of rooster fight back in the day.
Oh, really?
They always lost.
I figured the shovel gave you a certain advantage.
Sometimes they were, you know, sometimes we'd have a great rooster and they were really friendly, and other ones, you're feeding him and they come and attack you, and he's like, what the heck are you doing, man? Come on. Those were not long of this world.
Yeah, I would imagine. Rooster roast.
Yeah.
So with the earthquakes, the floods, the rain, all that kind of stuff, and the wind, how's Ferndale?
You know, it's a beautiful town. What can I say?
Even underwater?
Yeah. Quite honestly, in the earthquakes, I live in Ferndale, if anyone doesn't know, in a very old house.
Not the oldest house,
but one of the older ones. We seem to have fared fairly well compared to our neighbors to the south. And there was not a whole lot of glass broken or anything on Main Street. It was actually kind of nice after the first earthquake to see the town get reopened by Thursday or so, and that weekend it was really busy. Of course, it was the last weekend of
for Christmas, yeah.
and a lot of people were there. And it does take more time to get across the bridge now because it is one way controlled either way, but that's fine. Take your time, enjoy the view, and
appreciate the water that's underneath it.
Yeah, there is water. We have obviously been asking for water for quite a while in this state. It would have been nice to maybe
forgot
spread
to
that
include
out a
that
bit.
Timeline.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been working with a group called the COAD, the Community Organizations Active in Disaster, and volunteering. So I've been spending good parts of my weekends or whole weekends down in Rio Del volunteering. And to see, the first earthquake, we all went down there. We're trying to help out. And then the second earthquake and then the weather following that, it's been one thing after another. And then yesterday, the Community Resource Center, where people were coming in, we had a food pantry set up in there and everything else, that got yellow tagged yesterday. So it's just been real challenging down there. But what's gratifying to see everybody coming out to help.
We keep hearing stories about contractors volunteering their efforts. And it's like, okay, volunteering means free, means they're spending money because the labor...
Right. Yeah.
Is still being paid.
It's It's amazing.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's amazing to see everybody that's down there. And the Humboldt Area Foundation has been very generous. The Humboldt Made organization has been organizing free hot meals, and they're doing those again today in Riodel and I believe up in Trinidad. And, you know, people are so appreciative, you know, to come in and just say, you know, tell me your story. Here's a gift card if you're yellow tagged or red tagged, and this will help with some expenses. And, you know, grab food out of the shelter. Here's the information, and go out and have a hot meal. And, you know, it seems like small stuff, but I think it was really meaningful for those folks that really needed the help. But this is going to be a very long-term challenge for this community to repair and get everybody housed, and doing damage assessments and repairs is still going on. We don't even know the full scope, quite honestly.
So do entities like HCOG, which is the local governmental association group, do they step up in situations like this, and do they have the opportunity even to do anything for Riodel? I know there's some kind of rotational thing, who gets what each year.
You know, they put out transportation dollars in their primary planning agency. You know, the official response really comes through, because we're not a federally designated disaster, and there's some issues around that, is the county OES and Cal OES. But then there's a laundry list of other organizations that are helping out through doing relief.
Like through Red Cross? That
Red Cross is one. This COAD group, which is all sorts of volunteers, Food for People. I've been on these calls.
That's right. Yeah, we're getting those every day. Yeah.
They have a daily call where all these volunteer organizations come, church organizations from all over the state, quite honestly. It's really gratifying to see how much people are giving and helping here.
Well, particularly in light of the fact that so much of the rest of the state now is getting hammered off.
Exactly. I mean, it's so bad on the Central Coast. My son lives down by Santa Cruz and been showing some videos from there.
Is that
amazing.
Where Central Coast is?
Well, part of it.
Okay.
That's where it starts.
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. Greg, the different challenges that are out there, we kind of giggled in the intro about the drought. Okay. You know, one of the concerns I've had, and I think others have expressed it too, is that there was some state legislation 2-3 years ago about water capturing or water retention facilities that are... No one has heard word one that anything has occurred in any of those to try to get to that mandate, to honor the mandate, to comply to the mandate.
Right.
Now we got all this water.
We do have a lot of
water.
It's
coming through, and it's going right on out.
Yeah, they do. I know they have some groundwater recharge over in the valley, you know, some basins that they're letting water into, but I think those were historic. I don't know that they're anything new, but I, you know, it's not something
they call them dips.
Yeah. I was listening to a story the other day, and I really don't have any expertise on this about, yeah, what do you do on these really big events, and how can we be smart about water storage so we can capture some of this excess that's occurring right now. And And you know, while it's hard to believe, but it's like, okay, well, we've got a long road to go to recharge the groundwater of the state. And it's like, wait a minute, how much more rain do we need? Right. And the answer is
it's a fair amount,
and it's over time, right? It takes a while to do this kind of stuff.
But you think about the snowpack, and they're talking 4 or 5 feet a day.
Yeah.
I don't know where the lakes are. You know,
I haven't looked at the
Shasta or Trinity are kind of doing... moving at
they're
all.
They're definitely coming up.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that will happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But down south where all the water sucking is going on, you're not hearing anything.
I'm not aware.
Just disturbing is all get out when we're told we have to do so many things and the county's under certain edicts, the cities are under certain edicts, and the state self-imposes this thing and they just kind of blow it off.
Yeah. 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 We clearly need long-term water policy and drought management policy that doesn't exist. And
that would be don't build in the desert.
Well, there is.
It's a first
very
step.
Simple stuff, right? Yeah, yeah. Using high water consuming
landscape
developments. In desert areas, probably not the best idea.
Yeah, now, one of the things that we've talked about is PG&E over the past little bit. Some challenges, problems, et cetera, et cetera. But they seem to be really jumping on this thing, at least at our end of the state, really quickly. And we're seeing a lot of foreign.
Well, and there's a mutual aid thing going on. So, you know, and I think last time we were here, we were talking about our, you know, very strong concerns around PG&E capacity for growth moving forward. And that remains an issue. But that really needs to be separated from, you know, the heroic work that the people on the front line are doing right now. And you will see...
Trucks
from everywhere.
Yeah.
Because there's mutual aid agreements with other utilities that will come down and help. And so they're working like mad and in dangerous conditions. And it's not like there was a disaster and then it's over and you're coming down and fixing things. You're trying to fix things in really horrible windy and rainy conditions. It's dangerous work. It's hard work. I think we need
the only thing that's missing for the Canadian buddies is snow.
Exactly. Exactly. So they've been, you know, there's still, excuse me, a fair amount of outages out there, but I know they're working really hard in areas that were, initially, said to be having to wait days or if not weeks for power restoration or actually starting to get power. So that's a great thing. You know,
isn't it intriguing how often the power is going out?
No. Oh.
I mean, restoration doesn't mean that it's locked down now for the next 6 months. It means for the moment.
Well, you know, it's, and again, this sort of continuing series of storms and the intensity of them is, you know, your ground saturation. If it keeps raining, you know, that's a problem, obviously. But then when it's accompanied by these winds, it's horrible. And,
now,
you know,
we used to have this stuff when we were growing up, too. So it's not like it's novel.
I spent many a night growing up in Southern Humboldt in the dark. So
it just is. Yeah.
It happens. And
I think the fact that we haven't had it for so long.
I think that's a big part of it. Wait a minute, you know, people have been here 20 years or less probably don't remember some of the huge storms that we had back in the, you know, 60s and 70s. And,
well, and we've not heard...
Up into 86.
We've not heard a reference called warning stage.
Right.
Flood stage.
Right.
I mean, things like that. Yeah. Those were weekly occurrences for years.
It seems like,
during this time of the season.
Yeah, we used to have a lot. You know, and I want to give a shout-out also to PG&E's out there. We did... there's been a lot of work done by the volunteer fire departments, which are amazing. I'm only been volunteering on the weekends, but we were setting up some hot food for folks in Rio Del, and the wind and rain was so strong where we were trying to do it, we had to immediately move over to the fire hall and do it. And those guys have been amazing. That's where Cal OES is based down there, and the firefighters were there all day, and they work their tails off for that community. And what a great resource. And I'm hopeful that we can really look at investing in these volunteer fire departments, which really do become the community centers, the emergency centers, the gathering places.
I would suspect that Measure Z is going to be a little bit more sympathetic to the cause.
I would hope so. I would hope so. These guys are doing amazing work.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. Greg, there's a lot of different efforts that are out there. How do you know who to help? I mean, if you want to volunteer, where do you go? If you want to support,
right. Where
do you go? Because we've already heard a couple of the phone scam things.
That's right.
Not only is that gutsy, there should be a different level in hell. In Dante's Inferno.
Oh, I agree. Yeah,
for people like
that,
you're
trying to rip people off during a.
Yeah,
whenever you get a call or a solicitation, we suggest calling a known organization or a local organization. For example, the if you want to give money, the Humboldt Area Foundation has a disaster fund, and that's local, and 100% of the money goes to the disaster. And so, those are local Red Cross, local churches, they're all involved. Even the local fire departments, they're all involved. I think that's where you really want to focus. And the good thing about those organizations is, sometimes you'll get these solicitations, even from recognized national organizations, and you look at how that money is spent, and sometimes it's not probably 100% directly into that disaster.
Yeah, they're very few.
But the Humboldt Area Foundation has been very generous, and they have a fund there where people can make donations to help with disasters, and then that money gets turned around. And they've been, like I said earlier, they've been very generous with all sorts of things, but funding these free meals, provided by local vendors through Humboldt Made. And serving hundreds of people a day, if not more.
So what's the difference between those and Food for People?
So Food for People, this is actually prepared hot meals. And Food for People does, food distribution. And they've been great as well. I mean, they're bringing down food, but that's,
So one's prepared.
Right. This is literally, you just walk up to the food trailer and get a
hot dog.
Yesterday was hamburgers and pupusas, and they're delicious Ecuadorian pupusas. The pupuseria business based in Arcata came out on Saturday, and the mom, who's the cook, and she's from El Salvador. She's listening.
Honestly, had you had it before?
Saturday? I have. Yeah, okay. They're delicious. They're all delicious, right. And she made hundreds of those.
They look like bagel pizzas.
Hundreds of those. They're softer, but and I was talking to them, and they said, they were up until 3 a.m. prepping them all. Went to bed. Got up the next morning about 5 or 6. To get ready to come down to Rio
Del. Hit the cots and then hit the road. Yeah.
And people are so happy because they've just got so much to deal with. And so when you can go out and give a family a dinner and they can just go home or wherever and just sit down and eat some food.
Somewhere, catch a break.
Right. Yeah. It's great. So we, Foggy Bottoms Boys, Taste of BIM. I mean, there's just a whole big group, Manzanilla, all these, food trailers and that kind of thing have been great. Nick Bound Crawford at Humboldt Made has been helping coordinate all that with Allison Sterling Nichols and Jen Rice with the COAD. And then you know, I hesitate to say people's names because there's so many people doing so many things, but around the food and some of the response, those efforts have been amazing.
Medical was another issue that mm-hmm. was of concern mm-hmm. also. Is there an equivalent parallel for that? Or, I mean, are there pharmacies that are doing things, or because of the regulated elements associated with that, does that put it in a different arena?
I think it's a little bit different arena, but I do know that, like, Redwoods Rural had taken out their mobile clinic and have been doing some work. And, you know, what's interesting is not just the physical, but the mental and spiritual parts of this. You know, people are stressed out. They're tired. Some people just want to talk. When we were doing intakes or I was helping people in the center on Saturday and Sunday this weekend, they just want to tell their story. You know, they want to tell you all about the damage in the house, and then, you know, you have a good cry, you give them some stuff, right? You give them a hug. I mean, I had hugs from elderly women down to the little kids, you know. One kid came in. He was picking up foodstuffs and other things for his whole family, and he's one of six or something. This is in Rio Del. He's 12 years old. And, you know, he's taking the bags and putting them on the handlebars of his bike and then getting home and then coming back because, you know, it's like, how many people are in your house? And so, and he didn't have a car, so he's doing relatively small trips. We had a donation, and we had a few left of these really cool flashlights, the LED with the red and the white and the spot and the area lamp. And I said, you know what? Come back here. You want one of these? And he was just like, this is so cool. And he literally gave me a, you know, he just like, can I give
bear
you
hug.
Asked. He's like, can I give you a hug? And I was like, of course, man.
Yeah.
Bring it in. Bring it in. And but I had another lady who had walked, and then it really started raining, and she was an older woman, and not that old, but she was using assistance with a kind of a roller scooter. And she made her way all the way down to the firehouse. And I said, well, where do you live? And she goes, well, I walked all the way down here because you guys moved from the community center, which is right by my house. And I gave her a ride home. You know, I said, get in the car. I'll give you a ride home. You don't want to do this. So the next day she came in. She goes, oh, there you are. She goes, she came up. She goes, may I give you a hug? And I said, absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, there's some of that. Just the people sitting around telling their stories and being connected and just,
kind keep being people.
Yeah. And because they've all shared trauma there.
Well, the one cool thing that I think is unique, not only in Humboldt County, but we're not dealing with the floods. Mm. You know, so much of the state is dealing with water, and it's hanging out water, and they don't have the gradient, so it's not draining off.
Right, yeah.
And it just doesn't look like there's any end. At least with the challenges that are here, you see the power coming up.
Yeah,
you see the trees being cleaned up and trimmed up, and the roads getting clear. You see progress, so at least you kind of feel like it's getting a little bit better.
Well, and then the next storm comes, right? But and that's, you know,
do what you can do.
Yeah, it's the wind, and it's the wind that's really, you know, it's we have that wet ground, which is what we want, right? This is winter; we want wet ground. But the intensity of the winds, this bomb cyclone that came through, and, you know, I'll wake up in the middle of the night in Ferndale, and just my house is just being battered, you know, shaking. It's like, holy cow.
And you don't even have a view of the ocean.
No, but I can hear it from, you can certainly hear it in town.
I bet you can. KINS, News and Information, I'm Zade Ford.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Foster from REDEC. So, Greg, lessons learned so far. Is this something that REDEC gets involved with on a formal basis? I mean, can you guys? Gap financing is one thing,
right?
But something like this is not planned. It's not budgeted. It doesn't cash flow out.
Right.
It's totally a different thing.
Exactly.
Are you able to assist, or at this point, are you more just a coordinator and director?
Mostly a volunteer at this point, right?
Well,
and volunteering our time and trying to help as much as we can. But, you know, we have a role and other organizations like us have a role in the economic recovery that occurs, because there's economic damage, obviously, and we really practiced that when COVID happened, and we put together an emergency loan program that we stood up in about a week with our partners and a lot of different agencies, and we were able to get some short-term money into people's hands because they were, you know, their business was closed right away, right? So we knew exactly what the problem was. But we don't have the capacity necessarily to do millions and millions of dollars of economic recovery dollars.
Well, can you tap into?
Well,
not,
we can,
not SBA,
yeah.
but or entities
absolutely
similar to that, or maybe there's even venture capital that's out there, but you know, the guy or gal that's just busting chops trying to plywood up the windows is not thinking about
right
connecting to venture capital
right
to
right.
be able to keep the
so our
going.
You know, our focus is the business community and then the homeowners and all that. That's a different path, I think. But yeah, you're right. And you know, like for today, the SBA is in town and they're doing low interest loans for both individuals and businesses. Vocality Credit Union is offering a zero interest short term loan for people. So we've been promoting that and working with them and getting the word out. And
that's the Garberville folks?
Yeah. But that, you know, they can do anything in the county. They
right.
And we are actually going to take to our executive committee some partnership with Vocality next week that might help them out a little bit. Humble Dairy Foundation has also been helpful on that. So,
do any of these not have? I know I'm going to use a phrase that might get you lit up, but rigmarole. that you have to go through, or is it, hey, Greg, I need, how do we get
right
bing bang and this afternoon?
Yeah, it depends
happens.
On the program, right? Of course.
Sure.
So SBA is a little more complicated, but they're offering a pretty attractive product. You know, it's still a debt product, unfortunately. I mean, it would be nice to be able to just help people. But the nice thing is we do have the Small Business Development Center working with them, so they'll help you, you know, provide free assistance to help you through that application process.
Yeah.
You know, it's less so with Vocality. When we did our COVID loan program, and again, that was not just us, but a number of different organizations, we were all working together. We made that as simple as possible, but these are relatively modest loans. They were $25,000, and you know, our when COVID started, what we wanted to do was just give enough cash to kind of keep things going until we knew SBA dollars or federal dollars would be coming from and state dollars would be coming, and they ultimately did. So we had a gap, you know, it was like between us and when the bigger programs could start.
That was more of a time gap rather than a financial gap.
Well, and, you know, some people, you know, they's like, you know, they paid us back relatively quickly because they got their federal aid. But what we wanted to do, quite honestly, is it's part of it is just relieving that, you know, they still had bills coming and they were completely shut down.
Don't worry about it today.
Here's a little bit. We'll get you going. Yeah, just, you know,
talk to me.
So much
months,
of it is just, yeah, you know, trying to relieve some stress, you know, and it's a
neighbor thing.
Yeah, that's what you do. Well, I grew, yeah, you know, it's funny. Sometimes the old ways work, you know, where people just show up and get to work. I think there is a need for you know, routine and rules and regulations and all that. But sometimes, you know, half the battle is just showing up and doing the work and, you know.
Yeah, when the handshake should still count for something.
Yeah, you know, and tough. I grew up in a small community, obviously, on the Avenue of the Giants, and we were not strangers to natural disasters down there. And sometimes you can't wait. You just got to get out there, and who needs what? You know, you need to stay at the house? Come on over.
It's kind of like with the food. I know that there were a number of, you know, folks who made something, tried to drop it off, and couldn't be done because it wasn't health and safety sanctioned.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we might just have a little too much knowledge.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, bud, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Hang in there. See everybody tomorrow.